I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we have a request. If you are really enjoying what we do here on the Internet Marketing Podcast, then if you could, please leave us a review on iTunes or your podcast app, of course. That would be fab. It really helps us to grow the podcast and ensure we bring you great marketing tips and advice each week. Now, today, I'm joined by Bas van den Belt, award-winning digital marketing consultant, trainer and speaker, and founder of The State of Digital. Bas, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Hi, Andy. I'm actually just giving you a 5-star rating on my podcast app.
Are you really?
Yes.
That's very kind of it. I think this is a first. This is a first where we've had a live rating on the show. Now, we've spoken a couple of times before. I think the first time, let me see, I think May 2012, you spoke to Kelvin, and then I spoke to you, didn't I, November last year on matching content to audience. And it was an equally grey day, I seem to remember. It's grey both in the UK and the Netherlands at the moment again, isn't it? Even though it's May, it's just not fair, is it?
No.
But we're going to talk today about the importance of speaking in public, which is something that I bizarrely really like to do as well, so it should be quite a good conversation. But before we dig into that, just remind our listeners, tell us a bit about yourself, the State of Digital, and your new website, Speak with Persuasion.
Yeah, sure. I founded a website called State of Search back in 2011 it was, together with Lisa Myers, and just because I wanted to write about search. And we kind of grew that out to be one of the biggest in the search industry in Europe quite fast. And then we changed it to State of Digital a few years back because we saw that the industry was getting wider. Not that search wasn't important anymore, it still is. Mm. But we figured it would be better off being a little bit broader and less niche. And actually, State of Digital and State of Search brought me a speaking career as well, because of the writing, I got to know events organizers. I got to know events itself. I got to go to events and look at other speakers. And at one point, they asked me, "So why aren't you speaking?" Mm. And that actually brought me on stage as well. And ever since, I've been speaking quite a bit. And in the last couple of years, I have started to help out other speakers become better speakers, because I kind of have like a, it's difficult to say, but it's kind of like a natural kind of talent to be on a stage and to be teaching. Mm. I am a trade teacher as well, but my parents are both teachers, so it kind of comes natural to me. And I'm helping out others to become better speakers. And at one point, I was like, I should do more with this. So last year I founded, the beginning of the year, I founded speakwithpersuasion.com, which is a website that focuses on giving speakers tips and tricks. And I also offer some training on that website. So I'm doing that on top of all the other things that I've already was doing, just making it a little bit more official, so to speak.
Now, speaking is such a sort of huge area. I'm not quite sure where to start. Oh, no, I know where I'm going to start, because we'll come on to like sort of how to overcome fear and things a bit later. But I'm just wondering, what is it about speaking, Bas, that is so powerful? Why should every marketer be speaking? But it almost applies to everyone, really. What is it about speaking that is so sort of gives so much leverage?
I would personally say there's a couple of things in there. So we're all talking about content marketing these days, right? Mm. So everything is content marketing. We need to produce the right content and videos and articles and everything. And one thing that almost constantly is missing in all of that is the speaking part, which is part of content marketing, because it is an opportunity to explain to a audience what it is that you want to say. So you could compare it to an article, for example. But the thing is, with speaking, it's much more powerful than actually writing an article. Because if you write an article, you don't have any influence on how people actually read the article. You can do tricks, of course, with how to tell a story and build up of an article. But actually speaking in public, having the audience in front of you, that gives you the opportunity to play with the audience and to actually take them on a trip that they will remember. They will remember a story being told by a person in front of them on a stage longer and better, and it will have more impact than something that they read, because they read all the time and they read so much. So there's a lot more impact coming from speaking. So I would suggest every marketer to start speaking, if it's not themselves, make it part of the marketing cycle. All the things that you're doing, speaking should be there, because it influences people so much. That's why I've called it Speak with Persuasion as well, because it persuades people to do stuff much more powerful than for example, an article.
Yeah. So it's more like sort of taking people by the hand and taking them on a journey through the sort of medium of almost storytelling, I suppose, isn't it?
Yes. And it's as old as human beings are. And we've always been speaking. And the most powerful people in the past as well have been speakers. And if you go back to the old Greek, so I'm a history student, have to tell you that. I studied history. So that's one of the reasons why I look back at those things as well. But if you go back to the old Greek, the most powerful people, the ones that had the most impact and that we still talk about, like Socrates, Plato, they, of course, they wrote down stuff, but the most powerful part of it was that they talked about it and that they gathered people around them and explained to them and got them excited and got them to inspired to do stuff. So it's been there forever, and it's always been a very powerful tool to get people to do and to think about certain things and get them on a journey.
So if you could sum up, what would you say would be the top sort of three or four things that make a good speaker, Bas?
So there's that you have to make a difference between tactical things and the more, I would say, almost say strategical things, which most of the cases come more natural. So tactical, for example, is how do you present? Are you moving in the right way? Are you saying a lot of words at the same time? Those kind of things. Of course, that everybody can learn that. That's just exercise. This more strategic part is actually thinking about how to present a story. People are very open to stories and remember stories vividly. That's why we all still remember many of the stories that our parents told us when we were young.
Yeah.
We could still tell them to our own kids without having to grab a book and tell the story again, because we like to listen to stories and it has a lot of impact. So and a very important part of being a good speaker is, and especially in marketing, is that you create a story and not just state facts. And I think we've seen a shift in that in the last couple of years in the industry as well. When I started off speaking myself and started attending conferences, there were a lot of talks that were very tactical, practical, which is good, but that were very almost bullet-like, and you could actually see the bullets on the screen as well.
No. Death. What do they call that? Death by PowerPoint.
Death by PowerPoint. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. That was very common. People were just like putting bullets on, but the entire presentation, not just the slides, the entire presentation was one big bullet list, because they were just like rambling up everything that they knew, and they were just rambling out facts. Whereas if you look at conferences now, you see a lot more speakers actually understanding that they need to tell a story. So they need to understand that the audience wants to see the problem that they have, want to recognize the problem in the story, and then go like, oh, that's something that we want to do as well, and that happens with us, and then they start listening to you. So you have to earn trust in the beginning. You have to make them understand what you're talking about, as in this is a problem. Then there has to be a hero in it, which definitely is not the speaker, but somebody else. And build up like that. So I think one of the major things when it comes to being a good speaker is to understand what it is that your audience wants, and also the issues that your audience has. Because if I start talking about, I had that actually a mistake that I made myself, might be a good example.
Yes.
Is I did a presentation about Netflix once and how they work on data. And the presentation was a huge success in, what was it? I think it was somewhere in the UK that I talked about it. So I was like really happy with the presentation. I then went to Turkey and I did the same similar presentation. Turns out they didn't have Netflix yet in Turkey, even though it wasn't about Netflix as such, as the recognition, because it was about the data and how they work. It still didn't make sense because they couldn't relate because they didn't have Netflix. So I should have taken a different example there. So that was a mistake on my side. So I've never made that mistake again. I always understand, okay, what culture are we in? What are the issues that that they run into? And then talk about that. So if you want, I'm going to give you an example of a good example.
Please do, because it's another story, you see, isn't it? And everyone's ears are pricking up, you see.
Exactly. It's another story, yeah. So I spoke in Iran several times, which is very interesting because it's a very different country than the countries that we live in. And what I did is I had a presentation about storytelling. And I started off my presentation, I did some research on what are the issues that are important for the country. And I found some stuff that I could talk about, but that then again, it wasn't really something that I was very familiar with. So that's a danger. So you shouldn't go into topics that you don't know anything about.
Yeah.
And then this was like a year after the World Cup in Brazil. And I suddenly realized, wait a minute, Iran played in the World Cup. And I'm a football fan myself. So that's something that I can talk about quite easily.
Yes.
And then I did some more research and I found that Iran played Argentina in the World Cup and they lost the game 1-0 by a late goal from Lionel Messi. And actually, Iran should have had a penalty halfway through the match and they didn't get the penalty. So I realized that was happening, that happened. And I also knew that Iran and Argentina go way back when it comes to disputes. So somehow it's weird how it works with countries, like they're not even close together, but they're enemies. They've always been enemies. So that was kind of like an extra issue that was around the match. So I started my presentation with a few images of that specific match, and I told a story about how the match evolved. But then I made a little switch in the story when we got to the penalty moment. Mm. I actually rewarded them the penalty. So I said Iran did get the penalty, and they won the game. And so everybody was very excited.
Yeah.
And then I stopped for a second. I said, this story really happened on my son's Xbox. But because it was about storytelling, and they were like, oh, I could give them an example of how you can make something that is real and not real at the same time and get people involved. And so it did a couple of things for me. I could explain something about storytelling. And at the same time, I earned their trust because I talked about something that was an issue for them, and I took their side as well. So I could have let Argentina win anyway, but then they would be like, meh, they wouldn't like me too much. So this helped in many ways. So storytelling is definitely something that makes a good speaker. Tactical, one thing I'd like to pick out on that, timing is hugely important. Mm. Understanding when to click to a next slide, understanding when to make a joke or not, waiting a little bit, saying something, not just rambling out everything at the same speed, but mixing it up a little. I think that is what makes a great speaker, actually. If you know how to do that naturally, that's amazing. You can learn
it. Of course, I mean, comedians have this down to a T, don't they? The timing side of it. Exactly. The pauses are important, as important as the words, aren't they?
Exactly. So and it's even gestures as well, or not looking at a screen. So sometimes I have a funny image on the screen, and the one thing that many speakers do is they click and then look at the screen and go smile like, that's a funny picture, right? I just don't respond to the picture. I let the people absorb it. I just look forward. And I'm not saying anything, just like looking forward. And that is part of timing as well. And that's something that I found out recently a lot when I'm analyzing other speakers, is that the ones that I get excited about are the ones who do that really well.
Mm.
So I think having a good story, understanding your audience, and the right timing, if you're asking for three things, that makes a good speaker.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, I'm thinking, Bas, there's probably quite a few people out there who would like to start speaking, but they're absolutely petrified of doing it. Because there's that saying, isn't there, which is probably true, that most people are more afraid of speaking than dying. So I suppose the question is, how do you start speaking? How do you overcome that sort of fear of speaking?
Yeah. So the interesting part here is that knowing that fact actually does two things with people. One, it acknowledges the fact that people are nervous. So it makes them acknowledge the fact that it's okay to be nervous. And at the same time, it increases their fear a little bit because of that. But knowing that everybody is nervous helps decreasing the fear. So understanding that nerves are okay is the first thing that people need to do, which is, I always explain that I was nervous as well when I started off speaking. Mm. And actually, I'm not nervous now when I speak, but I do have a certain tension. And I always compare it to athletes. When you hear interviews with athletes who start off like the first game in a first team, for example, they were interviewed afterwards. How did you feel? Were you nervous? And then they always like, yeah, I was a little bit tense, but as soon as I step on the pitch, that was gone.
Mm.
And that is basically what happens with speaking as well, if you are prepared well enough, but not too well. So the mistake that many speakers make when they go on stage for the first time is that they're over-prepared. They kind of know every sentence they want to say, and as soon as they make a mistake on one of those sentences, that's when they start getting nervous again, and that's when they break up.
Right.
So basically, you should make it easier on yourself and just know that, okay, this is a topic that I know my stuff about, but I'm not going to write out every little detail because that will make me nervous. So have like three or four stories basically ready that you can easily tell to anybody, and then that focus on that. And then you'll be less nervous because you're talking about something that you know. So that's one thing. I think if you're starting off, even getting on that stage, so even before having that opportunity to tell stories, is a barrier. So people should avoid to start off too big.
Mm.
So speaking to one person is also speaking, but speaking to one person usually is even more daunting than speaking to a group of people. So why not start off with like small things within a meeting, for example? You don't have to do an entire presentation, but talk about stuff from your work, just 5 minutes, and stand up doing that instead of sitting down. And the more you do that, the more natural it becomes because you're used to it. One of the reasons why people are nervous is because they're not used to talking to groups and bigger groups. And so they see a big group and they're like, oh, I'm never going to be able to talk to them. And then when you actually ask them questions about how often do you speak up in meetings, turns out they quite often speak up in meetings. It's just that they don't realize that that's when they're also speaking in public. And making it more normal actually is what breaks the biggest part of the nerves. So try to make it normal. That's one tip I would give people starting off.
Yeah.
And basically just do it. As easy said than done, just do it.
Well, no, you're right. It's because it sounds like you don't want to be sort of so prepared that you're almost like reading a script, but you want to know that you're very knowledgeable about the thing you're going to speak about. And is it that you should have a sort of rough idea of the order of things you're going to address?
Of course you build up the presentation with a structure. You don't want to just go in and start blabbing. That doesn't work.
I've tried that.
Well, some people can actually pull that off. You have to be like natural on that. So that comes natural. That's not something you can train. But if you build up a structure, you know, like, okay, this is where I talk about first, second, third, fourth. And these are the stories that I have ready that I want to that I can talk about. Basically, stories are stories that you can tell anywhere. And if it's a story you can tell in the pub, you're fine because that you can tell that on stage as well. And that's when it gets more relaxed because that's when you're happy with the story. Just don't do too much. I've seen too many speakers do too much practice. And I actually brought someone with me last week to a conference and it was his first time speaking and we did it together and he wanted to keep practicing all the time. And at one point I was like, stop practicing. Don't do this because you saw him getting more and more nervous the more he practiced because he kept stopping every time he made a mistake in a word. You don't want to stop when you make a mistake in a word. Just go on and have a conversation. That's basically it.
Or try and make a joke of it like I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I'm quite interested in, because at the beginning of this chat, we were sort of saying how it's really good to do talking, be a speaker. How do you sort of, I'm trying to work out how to word this question, how do you try and come away with something? How do you sort of generate, I suppose, no, how do you generate leads? That's what I'm trying to say. How do you sort of, is there anything you can say in the talk that will increase the chance of people coming back to you or sort of cause leads to be generated without it sounding like a sales pitch? That's probably a better way of putting it.
So the last part you're saying is very important. Don't make it sound like a sales pitch. So as soon as anything in your presentation sounds like a sales pitch, the people will run away basically.
Yeah.
Because they feel that that's something that they don't want. So you don't want to do that. You want to avoid being too aggressive. So don't tell people they should buy from you. Mm. I usually don't even tell them what I'm doing. So I don't explain what my job is, but I kind of mold it into the stories. So I explain, for example, with a client that I was consulting with, we did this and that. So they were like, oh, you worked with a client similar to us.
Subtle.
So that's a subtle way of showing what you're doing. One, and that might actually be a nice trick for it. So I've said this internally in training sessions, but I have never said this in public. So this is a unique one for you.
It's an exclusive.
It's an exclusive. So one little trick that you can do to get people to come up to you at conferences afterwards is have an extra story up your sleeve. Mm. And at the end of the presentation, you can say, I have this great story about topics X, Y, or Z. I don't have time for that on stage now, or that's not part of the presentation. But if you're interested in it, it's a really good story. Come look me up after and I'll tell you the story. And
oh, nice.
They will come up to you afterwards to hear the story when you're at the coffee, for example, having coffee. You should, of course, then always go to the coffee breaks. Don't go and then run off because then that doesn't work. So go to the coffee breaks and then people will come up to you. It's like, what was the story you're talking about? And tell the story. And then you'll notice that people start gathering because, hey, he's telling the story that he didn't tell in the presentation. Mm. So people want to hear that. And sometimes you have to tell it twice or three times, which is fine because then you have a conversation with those people and then you're one-on-one with them, which makes it much more easy to talk about other stuff than the presentation itself and turn them into leads.
So Bas, if you could sum up just one top tip for people that are thinking of starting to speak about what they do, what would it be? One sort of little nugget for our listeners to take away?
I would say try it and feel the excitement when people are listening to you. Because one thing that is really important with speaking, and I see this with every speaker, is it's addictive. It's a drug when you're on stage.
Yeah.
And you wanna try that drug. So don't be afraid to fail, because you won't fail and people will love it and you will love it even more. So try and start small by doing a little presentation and then enjoy it. And if I could add to that, if you're really afraid, tag along with someone, tag along with an experienced speaker and say, can we do a presentation together? I'd be happy to help other speakers doing that and just join up for a presentation to make it easier for them to start. Because I believe that all marketers actually should be at least trying to be speakers.
Well, Bas, thanks so much for coming on today. How can our listeners find out more about you and more about the State of Digital and more about speakwithpersuasion.com? I've kind of done it for you in a way, haven't I, really?
Yeah, you mentioned them all. So I think easiest is speakwithpersuasion.com, stateofdigital.com, of course, that's where you can find them, at State of Digital and at Bas van den Belt and at Speak Persuasion are the best ways to follow what we're doing. And I'm actually sending out a weekly newsletter on Speak with Persuasion with tips on how to become a better speaker. And there's no lead generation on that, just tips. So if people want that, they can sign up for that.
Brilliant. That's well worth checking out. And thanks to our listeners for listening. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.com/IM podcast. If you've got sort of suggestions or you want to ask questions or things like that, the email address is podcast@sitevisibility.com. Don't forget you can tweet us at sitevisibility. If you want to connect with me personally, I'm Dr. Pod, DOCTORPOD, on Twitter and LinkedIn. Just mention the podcast if you connect with me. If you can, then I'll sort of know who you are. And also, don't forget we have a site visibility group on LinkedIn, so you can sort of put comments and join in the conversation there. So that's all from me, Andy, and that's all from Bas.
Thank you, and speak soon.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.